شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى said that Eid, the word Eid is the name of something that comes every year. Every year. I look to that. Christmas, something comes every year? Or every 10 years? Every decade? Or every century? Every year it comes, every decade or every century, still it comes. So whether a year or a month, as Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah say, a year, a month, a week. Don't we Muslims consider Friday is our Eid? It is our Eid. We have 50 Eids every year, ikhwan. We have 50 Eids. Right? Because we have 48 Fridays and we have two Eids a year, which is Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So, and the Eid contains a lot of things in it. First of all, it is a day that is repeatedly coming. The light of al-Fitr, Jum'ah, and also Eid means that people gather together. And that's why Jum'ah is the only day when people compulsorily have to come to the masjid, so we gather. Now, and things to be done in the Eid is part of the worship. What you do in the Eid, whatsoever Eid, is part of the worship. It's not outside worship. Your happiness, your dressing you, your gifts, your sweets, your drinks you give, all this is part of worship. Now, and even which are only customs, is still considered to be part of a religion. Naam? And the Eid might be given to a place that people come to it every year, like Arafah. Arafah is the Eid, ikhwan. Arafah is the Eid. Because every year people gather in Arafah. It's the Eid. Naam? And also in this hadith, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said that it is the right of the Mufti to ask questions to the one who come to ask about any ruling. And also forbidding fulfilling the vow if it contains of any disobedience or to be in a place where the kuffar are doing their celebrations even if they have already stopped it. Someone might say, but this was long ago, we say even. It's still not permissible. Now, and in it, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says, in this hadith, from this hadith we benefit that we have to dispute ourselves from the mushrikeen. We have. In all types of dispute. And also, it's to stop every mean that can lead to what the mushrikeen do. Not necessarily the thing that they do, but anything that leads to it, we have to stop it. And from what is known very well of the history of the Christians and Jews, that during their history, along with Islam, when they were living amongst the Muslims, and the countries that Muslim conquered or people of it became Muslims, the Christians and Jews used to celebrate their days of Eid. But they did, the Muslims who were living there, they did not use to join them. Nor that they used to greet them for it. And that's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu made a condition upon the people of the scripture, whenever the Muslims conquer any land, if they want to live with us, they are safe, they are secure, they are treated like Muslims. But you don't celebrate your Eid openly. Like we see today, many people bought the Christmas tree and what do you call that? Flashing lamps and they distribute sweets and etc. all this is haram. All this is haram. Now, Umar رضي الله عنه also said, as reported by Imam Abu Shaykh al-Asba'ani, Bayati, with a good way of narration, he said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَرِطَانَةِ الْأَعَاجِمِ. Do not speak in the tongue of the Arabs. He was telling that to who? To the companions or the students of the companions. Why? Because of the result you see today. The result you see today is that most of the Arabs, they don't know their language. They don't know their language. When they come to recite the Quran, although with the fatha, kasra, dhamma, they still make the fatha, dhamma, the kasra, fatha, and etc. Many of them. Why this happened? Because when the land of the other land, land of kuffar, and people, and they lived there, they mixed with others. The first generations influenced the non-Arabs with Arabic. That's why you see Imam Bukhari, you see Imam Tirmidhi, you see Imam Ibn Majah from Tazween, you see many from non-Arabs. Not only that, even CBA, the one who is the head of the Arabic grammar scholars, he's not Arab. He's not from the Arabs. But because the people who conquered this land, they only spoke Arabic. They could have learned others, but they decided not. Even if they know it, they don't speak in regular life with it. Although it is permissible to learn the language of others in order to give them da'wah. If you are somebody who can give da'wah, if you have already seek knowledge. Not before that, because if you seek the, if you learn the language of the kuffar before you seek knowledge, you are weak in iman. Sooner or later, you're going to be influenced with their life, style of life, and you go with them. And instead of calling them to Islam, they're going to call you to their religions. And that's what's happening in many places today. So Umar radiallahu anhu warned against learning the language of the others. Not yani for racism, but because this is how they're going to keep the tongue of Quran. And that's why at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, say Umar, 10 years and 8 months, was the Khalifa, then Uthman, for another 2 years and 4 months, and then Ali came as the Khalifa, okay? It's not far from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the pure Arabic tongue was available. One of the companions of Ali called Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. He came one day, or one evening, one night, he came to his house and found his daughter in the yard, in the backyard. She was looking to the heavens and she was amazing to the beautiful stars. But she comprehended wrongly. She said, ما أجمل السماء. Look at this, one dhamma over the lamb, ما أجمل. Her father responded immediately saying, oh, the moon. He said, father, I did not ask a question. But I was only exposing my impression. He said, well, when you want to expose your impression, you don't use dhamma. You don't say ma ajmalu. You say ma ajmala. Akhi, look at that. This was at that time. Immediately, Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali, when this happened in his house, he's one of the scholars. And when this happens in his house, what about the houses of the people who are fully in dunya? How are they going to speak? Like today. You see an Arab speaking to, for example, a Bangladeshi, and they say, Anafi intaruh? Intaruh an iji. This is not Arabic, Akhi. It's not Arabic. What language is this? Oh, he only understood like that. Who said that? You think he is stupid? He doesn't understand? How he understood English? Is English his grandfather's language? English is new too to him. Arabic is more popular to the Bangladeshi guy than English. Because English came to them maybe 100 years ago. But Arabic was with them many centuries ago, since Islam came to their land. Two people are weak in your language. You think everyone is weak like you too. That's the point. And if you stand in any mosque and you tell people, can you please tell me the difference between ism, fa'il and harf? Very simple. Very, very basic. I say that even here in Saudi Arabia, where the Arabic language is taught comprehensively in Saudi Arabia from grade 4 until they graduate from the universities, they still learn Arabic grammar. But yet, you ask any engineer, any medicine doctor, can you tell me what is the difference between ism? They say, this is a good question, but let me come back to you. Subhanallah. Come back to me. You go back to whom? You're going to ask who? Today, wallahi, I was driving this morning from Medina to Jeddah, and I was listening to Riyadh Radio. And there was an interview with somebody who has PhD in Arabic language. Right? And it was a kind of debate between him and another doctor in regard to the Arab poems. And this guy is it seems from his language, from his tongue, is from Jordan, like that. But he's teaching India. He was supporting what we call the Sha'r Sha'bi, or they call it traditional poems or something like that. Poetry. Traditional poetry. Meaning by the tongue of the Bedou today. The Bedou. Now? And the other doctor is fighting against this. He said that this will take over the pure Arabic, the Fasih, the original Arabic. We need the people to come back, write poems in the proper Arabic. And he was fighting, and then guess what? Wallahi, he has PhD in Arabic language. He recited some poems. Wallahi, he was making the Fatha Dhamma. Wallahi. I said, Subhanallah. If Abu al-Aswad al-Duali ran to Ali, I should run to King Abdullah and say, please, rescue the Arabic language from these people. Teach me, teaching in the Jama'a. And teach me in Arabic, not in science, in Arabic language. You can listen to many khatibs today and see how much mistakes they make. It is because they are not giving much concern to this Arabic language. And that's why the weakness came to their religion. Today. It came to their religion today. Because they don't understand it. And when the person does not understand something, he cannot be good in it. No way. Now, so Umar said, do not learn the tongue of the others, of the non-Arabs. Nor that you enter in places where the mushrikeen celebrate their, and look to this, he said, وَأَنْتَدْخُلُ عَلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَمَعِيدٍ فِي كَنَعِسٍ مُشْرِكِينَ فِي كَنَعِسٍ. He said, and you are not allowed to enter where the mushrikeen are celebrating their Eid in their churches, mushrikeen in churches. So Umar understood that from that time, for the Christians were much more bitter than them today. Today even Forbes are found doing many things that even recently, very close, I hear that they allowed any homosexuals to be Bobs. Allah understand. Subhanallah. But at the time of Umar, they were much, much, much greater than these ones. Much, much greater. But he said, Mushrikeen, they are Mushrikeen. He even said, don't enter there, as really the anger of Allah, the curse of Allah might come there. So you have to be careful. Bayhaqi also reported in his Sunan on the, from Umar radiallahu anhu, that he said, stay away from the enemies of Allah when they celebrate their Eid. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, referring to this, this is Umar radiallahu anhu, forbid learning the language of the kuffar. And he forbade for Muslims just entering the church, just entering the church in their day of Eid. Entering only, for no intention, for no purpose, just entering, when it is their Eid, like the Christmas. Now, what about doing the Christmas with them, celebrating it, like many Muslims today, Many Muslims, and what made me wondering today is that even some high rank like any Palestinian president is attending the celebration from this afternoon. Subhanallah. Now, or doing something that might be from the principles of their religion. Isn't this much more worse than learning only the language? Definitely it is worse. To do something of which is especially from the religion, it is worse than learning the language. Now, and isn't doing some, according to Shaykh Islam, I'm just reading what Shaykh Islam says, isn't doing some of their rituals worse than just entering the church without any intention on the day of Christmas? And if the anger and curse of Allah might come on the day of their Eid because of what they do. So what about the one who does like them? The one who does like them. Now, so we have to be careful. And then he said, Sayyid Ibn Qayyim Ibn Taymiyyah saying, as in Iqtida Surat al-Mustaqim, volume 1, page 515, he said, وَاشْتَنِبُوا, the statement of Umar, وَاشْتَنِبُوا أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ فِي عِيدِهِ, and avoid mixing with the enemies of Allah in their Eid. Here Ibn Taymiyyah said, isn't this forbidding from, yani forbidding meeting them and mixing with them in that day, what about participating with them? Isn't it worse? This was the first part of the khutbah. Then the second part, I began by praising Allah, sending salams and salah of Rasulullah, and then I said, oh slaves of Allah, verily the Eid or the celebrations is part of the Sharia of any people. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 48, for every people of you, we have given Shira, meaning the legislation of worship, how to worship. The like of Salah, Siyam, Eid, etc. Wa minhaja, minhaja means a way to go on. A way to go on, which is the Tawheed. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, as in Iqtida Surat al-Mustaqim, volume 1, page 528, there is no difference between participating in their Eid or participating in any of their rituals or Aqidah. As well as the I adhere you. And the Eid is a type of authenticating the kufr or adhering the kufr. And adhering branches of the religion of some people, it is adhering the kufr. And then he said, however, the Eid as a worship is one of the most pure rituals of the religions. Because the prayer you can see every day, people praying here, five there, ten there. But on the day of Eid, you see them all together. Yeah? So it is something seen, very big. Now, and then he said, and their Eid is from the cursed religion, which has been cursed, it and the followers of it. Why it is cursed? It is cursed by Allah, as in the hadith of Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah, verily Allah looked to the people of the, on the earth, and He cursed them all, the Arabs and the non-Arabs, except some of the people of Scripture who are remaining on what their prophets left them on, like the Jews with Musa." Cursing, but they were not all. All Jews were upon what Musa upon, nor that Christians were upon Isa upon at the time of Rasulullah. No, but very few of them. Majority of them have already changed when Rasulullah was sent. But even those who were upon what Musa or Isa were upon, when Rasulullah was sent, they came to Islam. Many of them, like Zayd ibn Sa'an, Abdullah ibn Salam, and many, many others. One of the mothers of believers, Safiyyah ibn Tahri, and Juwayriya ibn Al-Harith as well, from the Jew. Now, and it is well known that doing small thing of some people's rituals will make the, I say this, when the people of knowledge, or at least people who are seen like people of knowledge, when they go and celebrate with the Christians, the awam will say, oh, this is something permissible. And maybe it is a kind of worship that pleases Allah, because we see our scholars going there. And we have to remember the statement of Umar when he conquered Palestine, at Al-Maqdis. He came and he met the biggest Pope there, and the Pope asked him to come and pray inside the church. He, Umar radiallahu anhu, said, I would have done it if it is not that the people going to take it as a sunnah. So the people who are highly imitated should never ever come to these things. Not as they call, okay, one alim and one pope, and they celebrate one Eid, one Christmas, and they also celebrate one Eid of Muslims. Say, no. This is kind of cheating and deceiving the Muslims. Now, taking them away from the description that Allah Ta'ala gave them, that they don't witness the false. And let us know all that it is not permissible for a Muslim to participate in the Eid of the people of Scripture, for whatever evidence is brought from the Quran, Sunnah, and Ijma'ah. As well, it is not allowed to be, it is not permissible to greet them on those occasions. According to Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his book, أحكام أهل الذمة, the rulings of the people of Scripture, the people of Dhimma, people of obligations, he, رحمه الله تعالى, said, verily greeting the kuffar with their rituals of kufr, which is purely for them, is something that the ulama agreed upon that it is forbidden. and it is not permissible. And then he gave example. He said, like if you greet them for their Eid or fasting, and you say Eid Mubarak Alayk, Happy Christmas or whatsoever, or Tana Al-Eid or whatsoever statement given to show that you greet them in their Eid. He said this type of thing, greeting the kuffar on their yani worshipping rituals, if the person who says it is not going to be considered kafir, if he is not going to be considered kafir, at least he had done something which is haram, forbidden, at least. If he came, oh my intention, not just the intentions, but we say you have done something haram in Islam. Now, and even Ibn Qayyim says, and it is exactly the life of greeting them greeting them for their prostration for the cross. When they prostrate for the cross or bow for the cross, and you come and you say, may Allah sit from you. It is exactly when you greet them for their Eid, it's right, you are saying, may Allah accept your Eid from you. And how Allah accept the force? Then Ibn Qayyim said, however, greeting them on their Eid is worse than greeting them for prostrating for the cross. And then he said, why? And he said, it is even worse than greeting them for drinking khamr, suhoon, or killing innocents, or do adultery or whatsoever. And then he said, and so many people, so many Muslims who do not know nothing about their deen, who do not respect their deen, and do not know how bad it is when they greet the kuffar on their Eid, they do not know that they have committed something, only brings them the anger of Allah and the curse of Allah. So we have to be careful of that. One might say, well, these people, the Christians or the Jews or whosoever, non-Muslims, when our Eid comes, they celebrate with us and they greet us. We say, if they greet us for our Eid, we don't greet them for their Eid simply because they greet us for our true Eid, which is part of our true religion. But we don't celebrate them for their false Eid, which is part of their false religion. And false here means that they done it. Even their prophet did not know it, did not come with it. Now, and then also we can tell him, well, their celebrations never can be found free of disobedience, which is in both religions forbidden. The like of music, the like of khamr, free mixing, the like of worshipping the cross, and worshipping whatsoever sign of God that religion takes, like the Buddhists or the Hindus or whatsoever. They do that in their churches or temples or whatsoever. They do that. So how come you do it with them? How come you do that with them? Now, which is even worse than drinking khamr. You drinking khamr. This thing is even worse, because you attend there where they say that Isa is either the God or the Son of God, and you witness that, and you keep quiet, and you smile, and you give them gifts. Subhanallah. Are you pleasing Allah by that? Subhanallah. That is real buhtan and false. So we have to be careful of that and stay away from that, and do not يعني be the weakest on this planet is. والله تعالى أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى صحبه ذات القسم. Related to the subject. From the net you can raise your hand.
Right.
No questions? MashaAllah. But no greetings. No questions, but no greetings. Okay. Oh, there's a question. Yes. On our Eid, yes, we are allowed. Even if it is not Muslim, because Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, whenever he used to slaughter yani sheep, he used to give some of it to his neighbor who was Jew. And at the time of Ibn Umar, Jew was Jew, you know, they were out on the force. But yet he is a neighbor, so he used to give him. Allah. But a question. Are we allowed to eat from the food that they send to our house, even we don't go and celebrate? Their food that they cook on their Eid, and they send us, are we allowed to eat? No. Question is no. Yeah. That's what I mean. I don't mean any food. If they send you any food, if you know that. No, no, you are not allowed. On that day? Why Turkey is special in those days? Leave Turkey and take Syria. Leave Turkey and go Syria. No, no. You should avoid Turkey if it is something part of their religion. I don't mean religion that Isa came with, but their religion, they consider it from their religion. Isa never know the Christmas tree, but they take Christmas tree and this is their time. Isa never saw Bob and Wayne, but now they have toys Bob and Wayne that they use today. Your son, your child cries it, you don't buy it for him. You don't buy it for him. Now, and right, if they have special meals on this day, you don't go and buy. And I was asked 2 days ago on the net, is it allowed for the Muslim businessman to sell things that the Christians use in their Christmas, yani particularly on that day or in those days, and for the celebration? I said no, it's not allowed. He said that it is originally halal, like turkey for example. I said, well, the one who knows, the businessman who knows that A, X person buys grapes to make khamr. But he knows, he is 100% sure of that. Is he allowed to sell it for them? No, he's not allowed. Why? Because he's going to disobey Allah with it. Because Allah gets very angry when his boundaries are exceeded. So, we are the guardians. We are the guards. We have to protect the boundaries of Allah. Not to help people to exceed it. And no, we should not do that. Not because, and I said to him, Akhi, don't make the little more income through this type of business make you disobey Allah and lose all your business, all the barakah. Wallahi, people who, the businessmen who find it a very good adventure to sell things in the days of celebration of the kuffar, whatsoever, maybe Jews, maybe Hindus, maybe Buddhists, not only Christians, I mean all. Now, when you sell things that they use, especially for their days, for their celebrations, you lose the barakah of your business. And many of them you see that they are maybe millionaires, but they still complain of this, of that, of this, of that. Why? Because Allah never gives them any barakah on their business. Why? Because they disobey Allah with this business. They disobey Allah with this business. And don't think that the torment of Allah is far from that. No. Look to this big body man, healthy man, who goes for adultery. Sooner or later, Allah Ta'ala brings him illness. Maybe herbal, maybe... AIDS, maybe whatsoever. Always healthy, big body, from where it comes? It is from the disobedience. So we say, Akhi, don't buy it if it is something special. Now if you go to the supermarket, and you buy turkey on these days, what the supermarket man will think of you? You have to stay away from the special, Akhi. As the Prophet says, وَمَنْ اتَّقَ الشُّبَهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. Many things we have to avoid just to protect our honor. Yani, I was asked a question. A man living in the West, and all the banks in the West give interest. You like, you don't like, they put it in your account. What should I do? I said, well, there are two different opinions of the scholars. The proper opinions. One is more proper to you than the other to me at least. One says, you take the interest and you put it in public projects of the Muslims. Like building toilets, like making the road, something in Muslim country like that. The other says, which is the opinion of Sheikh Azamin, you take it, go back to the accountant and say, this is not my money. This is extra I found in my account. He checks and says, no, sorry. This is your money. This is the interest. Sorry, we Muslims do not take interest. Someone said, oh, they're going to take it and give it to the armies and the Jew and churches and actually they do whatever they want, up to them. But you give a message now, as Sheikh Al-Azamin said, and I like this opinion. You give them a lesson that we are Muslims, we are not liars. Because when they see the Muslims take money, they are not going to follow you to see where you put it. And then they say that the Muslims are liars. They say it is haram, 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 but they take it. But they take it. So I found this further opinion to free yourself of suspicion, you just give it to them back. Same thing with the whatsoever is special for them, Christmas or other religion, Eid. You avoid what is special of their occasions. Wallahu a'lam. Now, now this is what I told you. If you can tell me the name of the person, which I don't want to hear it now, I can definitely tell you that he is one either fake alim, meaning he is wearing like this, bisht and ghutra, to show, like the ulama, to show that he is one of the ulama. He is either like that while he is very poor of knowledge, or he is the alim that the desire has overtaken him. Either one of two. He might be alim, has alim, but it's only his own desire. Or he is someone who has never been around the alim, but he is trying to be seen as alim. Simply because Now, when I said it is not permissible and I held a khutbah of Jum'ah for that, I brought you the statements of the ulama. Can he bring me one statement of the previous ulama? He cannot. I wish he can. And that is when the Muslims, when the Christians were lower, when the Christians and the Jews were lower than the Muslims, the power was for the Muslims, and they are not allowed to, greet them or whatever. What about it today when the Muslims are lower? And no comparison today, much weaker, much lower, much. There is an alim called Ibn Khaldun, rahimahullah. He has a book, and in that book he said that the nature of nations, is that when a strong nation comes and overtakes the weak nation will automatically imitate those ones. And you can see it. You can see it. And the Western colonies, you can see it. They want to be westernized. They want to be, they want to speak always in either English or French, depends on who captured that land. Now, so that's why we say today the need is much more than it at the time of Umar to warn against celebrating Christmas or whatsoever non-Muslims Eid. Why? Because we are at the time where Muslims are much, much, much more weaker than those days. So to give them da'wah, it is to be through the proper way. You are not responsible if they don't like Islam and they prefer to stay on cover. On the day of resurrection, Allah will not punish you because they are kuffar. Now, you either give them on a proper way or just stay away. Type, okay. Later on, a woman says, a Christian woman says, I'm not going to accept Islam until you sleep with me. Say, okay, ma'am, no problem. As long as she's going to accept Islam, don't sleep with you. What's this? And they say, we don't accept Islam until you drink khamr. That's not logic. I'm not going to lose my akhirah for them to gain their akhirah. No, let them go to hell. As Allah said that, I affirm you the deen, the proper way, the messengers of Allah, all from Adam as the prophet, and Noah as the first messenger, until Muhammad as the last, and see prophet and messenger. They only affirmed it. Why did I choose those ayat in the Salah? Ayat of Kafirun, it's kind of dispute. I have to dispute myself from the kuffar. Well, yeah, you are kafirun. You know to whom you are directing the speech? It's to the whole kuffar, but at that time mainly it was his own people. Rasulullah's uncles. He was telling them, يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عبدون ما to the end of the ayah. So we have to dispute ourselves from the kuffar. And when I say dispute, ikhwan, maybe some who wants to hunt in the dirty water or to fish in the dirty water, they may say, oh, Muhammad al-Maliki calls for terrorism. No, I am a very well-known anti-terrorism. Wherever I am found, terrorism dies. I'm like Biff Buff to terrorism. And wherever I find terrorism, believe me, I'm going to stop it even by my hand. Even if I lose my life. Why? Because this is what our Prophet ﷺ told us. When you see the Khawari, the terrorists, you fight them. Now, even if I see the terrorism in the non-Muslim lands, I'm not going to accept it. And they in the West know me more than my people in the East. That I always go there and warn against these things. But not to be a terrorism, it does not necessarily mean to follow the others. No. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أنصر أخاك ظالما أو مظلوما. قالوا كيف عرفنا كيف ننصر مظلوما فكيف ننصر ظالما؟ قال تأخذ على يدي حتى يدع الظلم. Support your brother whether he is being oppressed or he is an oppressor. They said, Ya Rasulullah, if he is being oppressed, we know how to support him. But how are we going to support him when he is the oppressor? He said, you hold on his hand. Make him stop oppressing. That's how we deal with others. We don't follow them, but we don't accept to oppress them. No. Whether they are Christians, they are Jews, they are not our brothers. I'm not going to say it like some fake ulama say. They are our brothers in humanity. No, no. Because Darwin already said that he is animal. So how come I say the Darwins are my brother in humanity and they are not human? They are not human. So we be just. We don't oppress them, but we don't join them in their religious rituals or activities or celebrations. No. We stay away from them. But we, if we are neighbors, we give them the rights. We be nice to them. When we are in their land, we don't destroy, we don't bomb, we don't kill, we don't poison, we don't... No, no, no. This is not the land of war. Although it is called land of war, but as I said, Ikhwan, the problem is people who have no knowledge of Arabic language, of the principles of the deen, they misunderstand and twist the words. They say, but Shaykh al-Islam said it is Dar al-Harb, and the translation of Dar al-Harb is land of war. Say Dar al-Harb means it is not the land where fight is. No, it means it is not Dar Islam. It's not a land of Islam. That's the whole meaning of it. It does not necessarily mean that you go there whether hiding behind something like, for example, those who go hide themselves somewhere somehow and enter there and kill innocents and this and that. Know that you go with a permission and an obligation that you sign saying that I'm going to be a very good citizen or loyal and be loyal like this. And then when you go there, you betray. Now that's not correct. That's not correct. As I said, it is two totally different things. Naam, wallahu a'lam. There is a question from the internet. Okay, you write your question and we'll take it, inshallah.
I have a
question.
Yes.
Right, go ahead. Basically, the Prophet said he mentioned in a hadith, "La tattabi'anna sunan alladhina min qablikum shibran shibran dira'an dira'an hatta law dakhalu jahra dabyin la dakhaltum." Obviously the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he will you will okay. So you will follow the way of the people before you, of the script.
You want to try it up one day, you want to try it up? Eat up?
Up is a stinky animal. Yeah, is a stinky person.
Huh?
Is it because of the smell, isn't it?
The
whole of it, yeah. It does not have much. Yeah. I mean, you want to try eat it? Is it? Yes, inshallah. Yeah, so the Prophet said, you will follow the steps and the way of the people before you, like of the scripts and inch by inch and foot by foot. Even if they go to a small hole of a lizard, they will enter it. You try also to enter it. Basically, this is the imitation of the people. The question is basically related to this. It's been happening quite a while where a lot of people, they say, we're not actually participating with the non-Muslims in celebrating whatever Christmas or whatever. And sometimes in the time of coming to Christmas, there will be a lot of basically fireworks, some sort of like basically like some sort of decoration that they get, like which is the best decoration for snow and all these things. So some Muslims, they will take their children only to look and to see for those sort of things. And the sad thing, it's the business of the fireworks as well, it hits some of the Muslims' countries where you see in their own Eid or certain celebration having the same thing, imitating the same thing as the kuffar. And some of the Muslims, sadly, they will say, oh, I'm only taking my children because they're small and I want them really just to look what's there, and that's it. So that's my question, more or less. Allah ta'ala.
طيب وهذا this is true, but what I understood at the end from what he said at the end, that these people who in the Muslim countries do the fireworks are imitating the kuffar. No, but we say this is not part of the religion. Even the kuffar in their country, when they do the fireworks, I don't think that they say it's part of their religion. It's true that it is better not to do it because it is first of all waste of time, and it might be one of their customs, at least, and also customs when it happens intentionally in the Eid, then it is, as we said, custom become part of the Eid of the worship. But what you said about the Muslims who take their kids to the kuffar celebrations in the kuffar land because of the firework and the decoration that they make, this is because they disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people are living there, the Muslims are living there, disobeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because they cannot celebrate similar way. The Muslims cannot celebrate in a similar way because they are only minority. Only minority. Now, but when you go to any Muslim country and you see the Eid there, the people celebrate. You can feel that it is Eid today. But when you live in the Western country, there is no difference. There is no difference between your normal day and the Eid day. Even the Jummah, it's nothing different. Naam? Because you have to go on their own style of life. That's why these Muslims, yani, find that, oh, our children are not, yani, enjoying like the kuffar children, because the kuffar children, and the Christmas, they find something to enjoy. But our kids, if they don't go to this, they find nothing all year. Say, so you're right. You're right, because you don't take them to the Muslim countries. At least on the, yani, make your holidays during the Ramadan Eid or Hajj Eid and go to a Muslim country. Then your children will love it. And the more traditional countries you go to, yani, when the country you visit is, yani, more traditional, more old, there will be more, yani, the festival is seen. Now, they live it. Now, and I remember here in this town in Jeddah, when I was only a kid, we used to feel the Eid more than the kids today. Because the kids today are attracted to the Western style way, yani, of Eid, like the they go to the, No, beach we used to go, but even when they go to the beach, it is different from the way we used to go, yeah? And they go to these parks, The key part, the well, the now, so they go there, which is a Western style, totally Western style, so they don't feel it, and it is there all the year, so they don't feel it. And I hear from the kids, they say, we don't feel the Eid. I say, because you're changing it to, and if you go to the center of city center of Jeddah, and the Eid days, you see something different. There is a place called Bab Makkah, Falah School, right? The swings and these things, the things that the kids play with, are only erected on the day, on Eid, and after Eid they dismantle it and take it away. So the kids go and come by that way every day. They don't see anything of that. And when the Eid comes, they are so happy. Now, but because today's children are put in a style of life of the West, which this type of theme park, they cannot dismantle it. They cannot close it because it costs a lot of money. They cannot close it every year. So even when they go on Eid, they don't feel they are enjoying. So what I mean is, it's not an excuse for this man to take his kids to the firework and the Christmas or whatsoever, nor that it is an excuse for the Muslims to do firework like the kuffar and imitating them. They have changed their life, corrupted it, because they want to imitate the kuffar. Their identity is lost. Their dignity is gone. Their honor is finished. So they have to come back to that by holding on their religion. والله أعلم.